Alrighty then, hello there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, and our producer and engineer, Bill Profosky. This is our weekly, usually high school sports show, but we talk about other stuff as well, which we will be doing quite a bit of tonight. This is Election Eve, of course, in the United States, and Tim, first of all, welcome back, welcome home, and I trust you're feeling better.
Thanks, Rick. It is good. It was good to get home early last week after my week's stay at Salem Hospital. I had the opportunity to stay at their new Pingree cardiac wing, and it is very good. The care was phenomenal. The staff was outstanding. The food was even good. So if you have to be somewhere on the North Shore for cardiac treatment, Salem is Sam's a great place to be right now. But yeah, it was a scare, you know. And I sent you the paperwork just to prove it. But
7.2 on the Richter scale.
I have a pacemaker defibrillator implanted in my chest, so it should remedy that situation here out.
All right, so we can't get you around Bill Newell anymore then to get all excited. Is that the case?
Oh, I can be. Bill just has to be nicer.
Okay. Well, I'm sure.
Which reminds me, so do you.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
That implies that I haven't been to this point, so I don't know what you're talking about. Obviously, you've got me confused with someone else. The meds must be fuddling your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what, Tim? I do want to mention one thing, and I don't think it's said enough. I don't think I say it enough. Talk about care in hospitals, and I have had my share, as you know, of my visits to hospitals in the last 5 years or so. And I have had care or dealings with so many different medical personnel. But I got to tell you, the best care, I can't speak highly enough of nurses. I think that's the most noble profession that there is. And every single nurse I've dealt with, and there have been dozens of them, minimally, has been so amazing, Tim. And I'm betting you had that same kind of experience. Nurses are just, it's got to be a calling, because you can't just walk into that profession.
No, certainly not. And you know, I've been to probably all the hospitals within this given region for one length of time or another. There are several hospitals that are no longer even around anymore. I have always received outstanding care from the doctors all the way down to the cleaning staff and everything else that have come in and taken care of the rooms and all. And yeah, the nurses who are the bedrock of medical care have always been just tremendous. And my last experience was no less the case. And I should know, I've spent overnight 22 times in hospitals for various procedures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that, you know, my experience probably mirrors yours. It's just been, I'm just amazed. And whatever the age, from the youngest kid to the most veteran nurse, who has been on duty and is ready for retirement, they are just they're just spectacular in what they do, and I don't know how they do it. I mean, you know, you have to have a certain personality to be a teacher, but it ain't nothing like being a nurse. And I just want to, you know, if there are a way to send them all a rose, I wish I could do that. But especially in this time period right now with what everyone is going through, and along those lines, I was a little nervous that the governor might be shutting down high school sporting events today. He put the clamps on a few things, and he's shutting down most businesses by 9:30 in the evening, which doesn't seem too draconian to me. It's going to hurt some restaurants for sure, and I feel bad about that. But it seems to be a necessary point at this point, a necessary step at this point. And I'm going to ask Mac about that if high school sports are endangered. But you know, sort of a pullback by the governor.
It's a pandemic. It hasn't gone away. We don't have immunization for it. There's no cure. People keep exposing themselves, and they keep going into these situations that the CDC and other medical experts have said you can't be going into. not enough people are consistently wearing masks or avoiding large crowds, this is going to continue to happen. This isn't going away anytime soon, no matter what the nitwit in chief says. We're not, the only corner we're rounding is another corner of new record number of cases being found every day. And the number of people continue to die every day. So, I mean, you know, until people get it through their thick skulls that this is a pandemic, which, you know, there's, you can take a shot for the flu, you can take medicine for the common cold, you can't take anything for COVID-19 right now. And don't expect to get the care that Donald Trump got. Yeah. Okay, anytime soon.
All right. Let's.
No matter what the fool says, that ain't coming your way.
Okay. All right, Coach. I didn't mean to get you rattled. You gotta. I know you.
No,
you're
but,
just
you know,
home.
People get upset, Rick. That the governor's going overboard.
I don't think
37, almost 9,800 deaths.
I don't think anybody said that. I haven't read that anybody said that. What I saw on television was that some of the restaurant owners are getting hurt by it. They're going to have, they're going to lose business again. But they know it's a necessary step as well. So I wasn't, you know, I don't think it's, as I said, I don't think it's draconian at all. All right, so let's take a look at high school scores as we have them at the moment. In field hockey, Beverly beat Peabody by a score of 2-1. It was St. Mary's 2 and Bishop Fenwick 2. I guess St. Mary's got a late goal to tie that thing up. In girls' soccer, Pawtucket all over Rockport this evening or this afternoon, 8-0. In boys' soccer, Bishop Fenwick remains unbeaten as they shut out St. Mary's 1-0. Is it nil in soccer?
No, it's the word.
All right, 1-0. And in soccer as well, boys soccer, it was Manchester Essex 4, Hamilton Wenham 0. Cross country, North Reading over Pawtucket 28-29. And the only golf score we have, Beverly 58, Saugus 14. And I'm sure if there's anything going on with the prep golf, Gary Larrabee will have that down at the bottom of the hour. Due to logistics, we're going to Tim is going to be with us for the first half hour. I'm going to have to drop him off to bring Mike and Gary on together at 7:30 because I'm not technically astute to be able to do more than two people on the conference call with me, and then we'll get Tim back on right after that, and we'll go from there. So that's the lineup for this evening. I have a lot of emails out, and a lot of people have said they'd like to be on, or I could record at another time, but we just haven't been able to make connections, and I think schedules are kind of messed up right now between hybrid learning and practicing games and just staying home learning, the remote learning. So I'm sure it's difficult on so many people. I know it's difficult on so many people. All right, Coach, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Max Cerullo. If I can figure out the right buttons to push here, you're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. I'll be back.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our office as a call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, capeandsavings.bank.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we have not been able to make connections with Max Cirullo, the Newburyport Daily News sports editor. We'll be talking later on with Mike Grenier and Tim Kearns, yeah, and Gary Larrabee, sports journalist as well. But Mac has been covering the Patriots a lot, along with his duties up there covering Newburyport High School and some of the Cape Ann leagues adjacent to Newburyport. Tim, I don't know if you got to watch the game yesterday. It was a very exciting game.
Well, after the first three possessions and the way they looked, I figured maybe that was the time to take my afternoon nap. And I woke up and I saw it was 24-21. They had the ball. They drove. They moved the ball to the 41. And I napped back again. And when I turned it back on, I had heard that they had proceeded down around inside the 10-yard line, and Cam fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you know, more of the same, you know.
Well, the thing is, you know, I'm willing to give him a mulligan to a point, but they emphasized at practice this week, and it was in the papers, all of the papers, about ball security. And the quote from Belichick was saying that everybody who touches the ball has to believe and bleed and preach and think ball security. And then you got a chance to win the game, and the former MVP fumbles it away, and it was like, ah, you got to be kidding me. And, you know, my father used to talk about the law of averages. The Patriots struggled for 40 years, and they were excellent for 20 years, and now they've come back to the group a little bit here. And I was reading, Coach, that Belichick was sort of saying, it's not my fault. He was saying, you know, well, we spent a lot of money on and to win three Super Bowls. And, you know, it sounded, from what I was reading, it sounded a little bit like he was making an excuse.
Yeah, that's something that Bill generally doesn't do. He doesn't accept it from himself or from his players. But, you know, you look at the injuries that they've sustained. And then you throw in, and again, everybody's had to deal with the lack of preparation time due to COVID. And then you look at, they have the largest number of players who opted out not to play this year, and most of those guys were starters. So, you know, between the lack of preparation and the guys opting out, they were already operating at a handicap. And then you throw in the COVID delay, and you're trying to work new guys into a very complex system. It's not an easy system. We all know that. You know, we've seen well-established pros come in here, and after 2 days, 3 days a week, they go, oh, I'm out of here. I can't handle it. I can't learn that playbook. And so, you know, there's been an adjustment period for Newton. And certainly, you know, I wasn't a big fan of his coming in. I'm still not a big fan of his being here. Every time I watch him throw a ball, I mean, it looks like he's trying out for the track team, shot put team. You know, he doesn't throw it. He doesn't flick it. He pushes it. And he's got so many...
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message.
Bye-bye.
Send your message with normal delivery. Press 1.
Okay.
Send your message with urgent delivery.
That me or you?
That's this conference call I'm trying to figure out.
Are you still there?
Hold on. Let me see if I can cancel that. I'll be back.
Send your message.
This is why I need Kearns here. All right. So let me get Tim back. Oh, my goodness. All right. So let's dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. And doobie 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 doobie. There we go. Oh my goodness. Well, Max going to have a 24-hour recording on there of you and me talking football. So he's going to say, "Who was that idiot?" So here's the thing, Tim. I remember when years ago when you were preaching the Red Sox, get the kids in there, and they did. Now, first of all, I'm a Patriots fan, and I will remain a Patriots fan no matter what, and I will watch them. They are lacking, in my opinion, really on the defensive front line, and that was supposed to be their strength. That defensive front line can't stop a run, and that is disappointing to me. Obviously, they don't have any deep threats on the receiving corps, although they're developing some kids. I think the two guys who were in there yesterday are beginning to develop pretty well. Myers is one of them, I think, and I forget the other kid's name. The tight end, Izzo, looks like he could be a pass catcher. I don't know if he can block, but he looks like he could be a pass catcher. So then the question becomes, we know what Cam Newton can do. We know when he's right, he's spectacular, but he hasn't been right now for five games. Is it time to get a look at Stidham?
Yes. To me, yes. Okay. He was your solution when Brady left, and I think that's why Bill was getting to the end of the line with Tom and maybe some of the shenanigans, and not showing up. But Tom proved the first year that he didn't need to come to the OTAs because they went out and won a Super Bowl. But last year was different. It's a different team. You know, they get whacked so bad by off-season departures, by guys who use the Super Bowl or the success the team has, and they parlay that into their own particular new contracts somewhere else, and off they go. Look at the guys that we lost this year. Not only off they go, but the guys who went elsewhere. You look at the Miami defense. It looks like Patriots South.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you take away all those key members, your defense has to change, and it needs time to morph into that old being that used to be there. You know, these guys all worked their way into the lineup when they took somebody else's place. It wasn't an overnight thing for Van Noy. He was there. He was a backup, got backup reps, and all of a sudden, boom, he's the starter. And everybody else was the same, mainly the same way. Because that's what Bill does. He builds it from inside. Now, he's just had to stick a lot of these guys out there. And you saw guys out there yesterday that had just been brought up on the practice squad who probably didn't have 3 days of practice and of reps. And so they're going to make more mistakes. But you hope that their intensity can overcome some of those mistakes and a desire to show Bill that they belong there. But again, in trying to do that, you're going to make mistakes because you're going to overtry, you're going to overthink things, and so you're not going to make some of the plays that you should have made. You know.
So
go back to Stidham. You know, Stidham was going to be the guy, and then all comes Bill. Well, I don't know. Maybe if I can find somebody else, and Cam Newton became available, coming off a couple years of injuries, hasn't really played. Okay, and. You know, yeah, he was an MVP, but 4 or 5 years ago, okay. And Cam Newton, no Tom Brady. He's no Tom Brady. Physically more gifted? Yeah, he's a better runner. Okay, but Tom didn't fumble as much because Tom didn't take off and try to create offense by himself.
Well, I think
Tom is a better cerebral quarterback. I was looking at one of the plays last night. He had an eight-man front. And what do they do? Well, there was a run play called. He goes through with it. Brady sees an eight-man front, and what does he do? Checks off.
Yeah. I saw that one. I saw that one. I think he got a yard or 2 yards on that play.
15 more.
Yeah. I think, well, the thing is,
what 2 yards? What are you doing?
The thing is what I want to see is what do they call it? The pre-read snaps and what you just said, the understanding of what you're looking at, and Cam Newton seems to be missing a little of that. Not that I really know, just guessing. But you look at Russell Wilson, and of course he's a seasoned veteran now. But Patrick Mahomes, good Lord. Patrick Mahomes is really good at reading defenses, plus ad-libbing. And nobody was better than Brady and Peyton Manning. Those two were the best all time at reading defenses, and that's part of the reason they were so great. So that begs the question, or does it? Can Stidham do it? Meaning, you can't do it from the sideline. You got to get into the game to learn how to read the defense. Because everybody says Stidham's got an arm. So, you know, let's see if he gets in there.
If you're going to get down and lose games, by a quarterback throwing two picks a game, fumbling once or twice a game, give the ball to Stidham. give the ball to Stidham, and let's see what this kid has got for several games.
All right, how do they open up the offense? How do they get a receiver downfield?
Well, we're going to have to ask Josh about that one. You know, the receivers that they have now don't seem to have the ability to get great separation. They just can't run by people. The guys at the underneath guys, Edelman, your biggest guy that draws attention from your safety or from your corner or from one of your linebackers, he's been hurt all year, so he's been ineffective, but he's also been double and triple teamed all year.
Yeah,
so these other guys have had one-on-one coverage, and they still haven't been able to break free. We thought N'Keal Harry was going to be that guy at Arizona. All they did was tout his speed, his body strength, his ability to go up in a crowd and take the ball away from people. We've seen instances. We haven't seen a lot of it, though.
No.
So, you know, what looked like a really good bargain when we drafted him, hasn't really panned out that way.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to try one more time to see if I can get a hold of Mac, and he's probably cursing me for messing up his phone lines, but we'll come back, and if that doesn't work, we'll check in with Mike and Gary here in just a minute. This is North Shore Sports Night. It is a Monday night. I'm going to try to cover some high school sports this week if the weather permits and we get past Tuesday. And so if you'll stay with us, that'll be really cool, and pass the word. msonewsports@gmail.com is how you get a hold of us.
Blue Collar Lobster at the Gloucester House Restaurant, 63 Rogers Street, is open daily from 11:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. for takeout, outdoor dining, or inside table service at the Cafe Seven Seas. Blue Collar Lobster offers high-top tables with umbrellas, a tented area with tables and chairs, a canopy area with picnic tables, and seating in the open-air portion of Cafe Seven Seas, all with a view of the working harbor. Full bar service is available, and bartenders are ready to make you a delicious cocktail. Enjoy the food and the view, and stay as long as you like at Blue Collar Lobster, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. To view the Blue Collar Lobster menu, visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
All right, we are back now with the Newburyport Daily News, sports editor Mac Cerullo, and, of course, Tim Kearns. Mac, how are you?
Hey there, how's it going?
Going pretty well. Tim, I got you back, I hope.
I'm still here, right?
Okay, good.
Can't get rid of me that easy.
I know. Mac, I the first time I called you, I didn't disconnect, so you're going to have about a 25-minute tape there that you need to get rid of Tim and me talking, so I apologize from that, about that. I don't know how these voicemail things work in terms of erasing them. Can you do that on a cell phone? How does that work? I don't even know.
I'm sorry?
I was just asking if you know how to erase a voicemail, but we'll get to that later. Mac, first of all, you've been covering dual coverage here. You're covering the Patriots and you're covering sports up there in the area. Give us a little thumbnail about Newburyport High School this fall, because according to Kyle Hudson, the director of athletics, they've had a really successful fall so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So, so as things stand right now, we're kind of coming to the home stretch. The regular season. So there isn't going to be a Cape Ann Lake tournament. They kind of had to put that on ice just because of the coronavirus cases. So this last week is pretty much just the last bit of the fall season. And as things stand now, the boys soccer team is on the verge of winning their first Cape Ann Lake title ever. Masconomet dominated the league for like 45 years, basically. But they're out in Newburyport. All they got to do is win their last two games. And as of last I heard, they were up by 2 goals at halftime, so they're looking pretty good there. The field hockey team, as of a few minutes ago, just clinched at least a share of their Cape Ann Lake title. Because they now, if they win one more game in their last two games, they'll get the win that outright. Girls soccer has been playing well. The cross country teams have both been doing well also, and the golf team, they've already they've finished up a perfect season. They went 10-0, so that's a huge, I believe that's their first perfect season in program history. A lot of good stuff happening for Newburyport, that's
yeah.
For sure.
Well, I guess when Masco leaves, there has to be someone to fill in the void, and looks like it's the Clippers. Mac, you got a story out I want to ask you about on a player from Governor's Academy. Peyton O'Leary. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because I don't know what that means. You said he receives a preferred walk-on offer from Michigan football. What's that mean?
Yeah, so basically how it works with the big Division I programs like that is they have a certain number of scholarships that they have available to give out. And basically a preferred walk-on is, you know, if a program is like, hey, we like you, we would like you to be a part of the team, but we do not have a scholarship to offer you. So it's obviously something that, you know, an athlete would have to take into consideration. So let's put it this way, if you're a guy who's getting a preferred walk-on offer to a school like Michigan, then there's a pretty good chance that you could probably get a scholarship from, you know, a smaller college, an FCS program, certainly, whatever. In Peyton's case, he is already, if he decides to play, he's a lacrosse player, too. So if he decides to go that route, he already has a Division I offer to UMass Amherst, where his brother already plays. So he's going to end up someplace really good no matter what. But, you know, I think football is definitely like a I think he has a decision on his hands, but I don't know how it's going to go. But just to, you know, be given the chance to play for Michigan football is obviously an incredible accomplishment. So definitely speaks volumes of his talent.
Yeah, great story. Great problem to have, I guess, for him and his parents, huh?
Yeah. That's going to be a thing that's going to be ongoing. But either way, he's certainly got no bad options.
Way cool. Now the other thing is, you had, I think I saw it on Twitter today, a story about James White of the Patriots, and we all know and are saddened by what he has had to experience this fall. But you've been covering the Patriots, and maybe a little idea of how you're looking at them.
Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry, my puppy just got into his.
What do you got for a puppy? What do you have for a puppy?
I got two labs.
Okay.
No, very hungry.
just asking about you had a tweet on James White, but your overall view of the Patriots.
So you know, the Patriots are obviously not in the best spot right now. I think that kind of goes without saying. Right now the trade deadline's tomorrow. So what we're going to find out is basically, you know, the Patriots have some high-priced veterans who they could potentially trade and maybe get some draft picks back in return. And then down the stretch, they've got some young players who need time to play, they need time to develop, and the Patriots kind of just need to see what they have. So at this point, it's not looking good as far as, like, you know, they're probably not going to make the playoffs at this point. You know, they're kind of, Bill Burt at the Eagle Tribune, one of my colleagues over there, you know, basically described them as a 5-11 team. And, you know, whether or not they actually finished with that record, you all know what that means. It's, you know, not a good team, also probably not bad enough to, like, tank for the number one overall pick either. But, you know, it's certainly not a position you want to be in if you're the Patriots. And, you know, it's been 20 years since they've been in a spot like this, so it's, you know, it's different, but... Yeah, in a weird way, it's like kind of interesting in its own way. You know, Patriots seasons have been progressing exactly the same for years now. So
yeah, really,
it's not good, but it's certainly different.
Tim, you got a question for Mac?
Yeah, Matt. It was reported that Belichick had said that they would listen to offers on anybody. Have you heard anything to substantiate that? Because I don't see that happening.
If you're asking if Bill Belichick is like listening to offers on any particular player, no. But I mean, common sense, it kind of says, like, why not? Like, you know, they're in a position where they need to be thinking towards, you know, the future ultimately, you know, the short term and the long term. Like, you know, how can they get better next week? How can they get better in, you know, 3 weeks? How can they get better next year, and how can they make sure that they're set up to eventually get back to Super Bowl contention? So, you know, it's going to be an interesting 24 hours. I'll just put it that way. I wouldn't be surprised if nothing happens, and you know, we wake up tomorrow and find out that, like, you know, three big time guys have been traded. Then, I mean, I'll admit I'd find that to be a little surprising, but I wouldn't be shocked if anything is on the table, pretty much.
Mac, it's great talking with you. Sorry I messed up a little bit earlier, but we'll check in with you again. Meantime, stay safe and keep those stories coming, man. They're great.
course. Yeah, my pleasure. I love talking to you guys.
Thank you, Mick. I appreciate it. Stay safe.
Right. No problem. All right, bye.
All right, that is Max Arullo, who is the Newburyport Daily News sports editor. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to do some manipulating. I'm going to ask Tim to stand by, and we'll get him back in a little while. So, Tim, you can take a break, maybe have a snack, watch a little bit. What time's the game on?
Oh, I don't know. Tonight's the night of my British mystery, so I'll spot check Brady. I don't live and die to watch Tom Brady.
No, neither do I, but I know certain people under certain roofs do, and it irritates me, but what are you going to do?
I have one, too.
Oh, you read my mind. Okay, let's take a break, and we'll come back. And as I said, we'll check in with Tim in just a little while. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And we shall return, hopefully.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
All right, we've got the phone roundtable going on here and the phone carousel, and so far, Tim, first of all, I want to welcome Gary Larrabee and Mike Renier, sports journalist extraordinaire, and generally, guys, Tim is here doing all the engineering, so for me to do this is like, oh man, do I mess up, but we'll start with Gary. How you doing?
Fantastic.
And Mike?
Good, very well, very
all right,
well.
All right,
and Gary, I have to ask Gary, Gary, you kind of tried to throw me under the bus last week, so I'm hoping you're not going to be adversarial about anything.
Remind me, what happened?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I said something about Belichick, and you called me a Belichick apologist or something like that. I was just pointing out about draft picks, how they, whatever. But you threw me under the bus, and I'm still hurting.
Oh.
Wow, so I didn't mean to do that, Mike. I mean, we've been throwing each other under the bus for all those years at the Salem
True.
News. So.
That's true. That's
anyway,
true.
Anyway, sorry about that, Mike. I
that's
regret
okay.
that. Terribly.
That's okay. We can just argue it out, you know?
All right, so where do we want to start? I just talked to Max Cirillo. He's the a youngster up at Newburyport.
Yeah.
He's their Newburyport Daily News sports editor. He's terrific. And he has the opportunity to cover sports, to cover professional sports and local sports. And both you guys did that. He's getting a real early start. But it must be, I don't know, how does that feel? Or what's it like to do both? I mean, you got to do it from different angles.
Well, yeah. Gary, you want to? Well, I'll throw in my two cents, and maybe Gary will chip in. I love the variety of doing that. Like, I can remember Bill Kaporis, you know, rest in peace. But he used to send me, or Gary, we might be covering a Salem High basketball game one night, and be covering the Celtics-Lakers the next night. And I found that always to be refreshing. You didn't get stale by being with a certain team you know, for 3 or 4 months at a time. The variety, I thought, was great. Gary, what did you think?
That's the exact perfect way to express it, Mike. Variety is the spice of life, and that includes sports writing. And I can't tell you how many guys I've talked to over the years. Now that you and I, Mike, are in our 70s, how about that? We're in our 70s,
right?
And I hear the stories all the time from these guys, these old timers, that there was nothing better,
right,
than have a chance to go college, high school, pro at any different day of the week.
Yep.
And that was what made it so invigorating, so stimulating. And it was very easy for us to shift gears if we were good sports writers.
Right, and I think that's because, Gary, we had an excellent relationship with the athletic directors and coaches of the high school teams. And then we'd say to them, okay, well, tomorrow I won't be at your game, but I'll be at the, you know, the Celtics-Atlanta Hawks game, but I'll be back with you next Monday. I mean, you know, they understood, and we had a great relationship with the athletes, the coaches, the athletic directors. You know, Bill Kapouras carved that out for us with his philosophy of covering everything. And I think, you know, Rick, I don't know, you may or may not remember that. I think Bill Kapouras was really responsible for expanding the coverage of girls' sports in particular. He was at the frontier of that, I thought. On the North Shore, girls' sports hadn't been covered a whole lot until Bill Kapouras came along and insisted on it. And we would cover, you know, for example, Salem High girls' soccer just as much as we might cover St. John's Prep boys' soccer. You know, in other words, like, you know, he wanted equal coverage for the girls, and we expanded that horizon in a big, big way, didn't we, huh, Gary?
And that's one reason why we tolerated and were able to deal with working nights, weekends, and holidays because of the, as I said before, the stimulating variety of what we were doing, and the fact that these kids with the high school kids were thrilled to see us, the college kids were thrilled to see us, and the pros, I'm not sure they were thrilled to see us, but it was just great for us. It was a great way to have a career, and we both had a great time doing it.
Yeah, well, the office camaraderie was a big part of that too, Gary, because you know, we enjoyed each other's company. We helped each other in terms of assignments. If you couldn't make it to a game, maybe I would volunteer for a game. You know, for example, if you wanted to cover an important golf event, if I could take that something off your hands, and we would do that, and you'd do the same for me. And Carl Siegel, who was with us for a long time, did the same for us. And, you know, Kip was at the head of it all. And, you know, we just worked. There was a lot of camaraderie and a lot of cooperation and able to help each other out in many different ways. You know, I think so fondly of all the major events we covered, Gary, at the pro level, at the college level, at the high school, Super Bowl, so many of them. And then, you know, you would go down to the Masters tournament, and I would get to go, let's say, the Red Sox playoffs out in, you know, wherever, New York City in 1986, for example, the Mets series. You know, it was just, we had such a wide variety of things, and I don't know if writers get an opportunity to do that anymore, but certainly the suburban Boston papers like ours had that capacity and that ability to do that back in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
And Rick, you enjoyed some of the same stuff, didn't you? Did you not, in your capacity as a broadcaster?
I never got to the pros, but our pro day was when we got to do a high school championship, a state championship game, because then we could do it from the Garden or we could do it from Foxborough. And to be in the pros for one day was enough for me. Yes, but knowing you guys, and this is going to sound stupid, I guess, but knowing you guys, knowing those guys, made me feel good because I'd get the story from you, and I'm in awe of that. And I go back to the first guy I met from the Boston Globe, John Ahern, way back when I first started at WESX, and he took me under his wing. But he was telling me stories about Muhammad Ali and Ted Williams, and you know, it's just fascinating. So that in between stuff was great. But the key to it, guys, is that we're still doing it. We're still here.
That's right.
So, you know, and loving it. And it is that connection, isn't it? It's a lifelong. You know, they have this trite saying in a lot of the school systems, and I was in one where it said the mission statement was, you know, to produce lifelong learners. Well, hell, this is lifelong learning. This is what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. No,
and Rick, Mike and Rick, since you mentioned that, I'm a little disappointed to hear about the KPN League canceling their postseason tournaments today. My goodness, what are they thinking?
Yeah,
that's too bad. I was hoping that with no state tournaments, right, guys, that we would at least have conference tournaments that the players, the kids, boys and girls could look forward to. And apparently that's, or evidently that's not going to be the case. And it's really too bad because the seasons were already being curtailed, and now they're curtailed even further. And that's really a sad, it's too bad these kids don't have that opportunity.
Well, I wonder what the history of these of this season, and hopefully this is the last season, but looking back on the high school events or all sporting events, I wonder what the history is going to look like in a few years from now, and what, you know, what the impact will be on these kids, because Jim Rudloff was saying, you know, he would like to see nobody play if not everybody can play, because it gives those who play an advantage going to college and so on. And he was in particular talking about the Lynn kids who don't have a chance to show their stuff this year. So this thing, this COVID thing sucks, you know? It just does.
Yeah, it's just, it's hampered. And, of course, it's getting worse, Rick, as we know, and there's so much uncertainty. And it's getting worse. The thing that makes me sick is to see some of these college football teams who have 35, 40 cases, and they don't shut it down. Clemson, for example, had 37 football players testing positive in the preseason, and the coach talks like, you know, okay, let's this play out, but we're going to play football come September. It's a ridiculous philosophy at the college football level. And Gary, you mentioned it's all about money, and I completely agree. You know, Ohio State, where you spent a year or two, you know, they didn't even begin their season until last week, yet they're ranked number 3. I mean, I don't get it, but it's all about the ratings and the money, and it looked like the Big Ten wasn't going to have a football season at all. Same thing with the Pac-12 out west, and both conferences caved in and are playing football, even though now there's a tremendous rise in cases.
And the main reason they're playing, of course, guys, is that we can watch all the games on TV on the weekends, or even weeknights, and TV and the money and the sponsorships and all that stuff is just the way it's going right now.
Yeah. And but, Rick, you mentioned a great point about, you know, like I said, you've had the opportunity to cover state tournaments, whether it be, you know, the basketball tournament at the Garden or at the old Centrum in Worcester. And if I think for Gary and myself, we get just as excited, let's say, watching Scooney Penn play in a state championship games.
Oh, yeah.
And Rick Brunson at Salem High or Sean Conley at Bishop Fenwick or Pat Connaughton at St. John's Prep. I get just as excited about that as I would a Celtics playoff game. You know, I mean, because you follow these kids throughout the fall in football or the winter or the hockey, for example, and then you get to see them play at the Garden, and you knew that was the moment in their lives, the high school kids, that they will always remember, going to the Garden. Gary, how about when, for example, when Brunson played at the Boston Garden in the state semifinals in 1990, and the Salem kids were kissing the shamrock on the floor because they knew it was the only time in their lives they would get to play, probably the only time in their lives they would get to play on that floor, and it would be such a memorable night for them. And they won that game, and the state championship game in Worcester was almost anticlimactic compared to playing at the Boston Garden. And
no, I agree.
Those are great moments, Rick. And,
yeah, because you know, that was spoiled. I mean, because we were all spoiled because we were in the same generation where back in the 50s and 60s, if you were a Class A or Class B basketball team and you qualified for the tournament, you played all your games at the Garden.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We played two games at the Garden my junior year in 1966. We beat South Boston, then lost to Don Bosco.
Yeah.
But I had two chances to play on the old parquet. Never forget it, and I still relive those experiences I made. I scored 7 points in one game, 0 points in the other, but no one can take that away.
That's right. You did it, man. That's it. You know, Mike, you were just, had me reminiscing here, and I remember we covered a game, Beverly against Cambridge Ringe and Latin, and Patrick Ewing played in that game, and I think Cambridge won, but the Beverly center, and I can't remember his name.
Yes, he passed away.
He outplayed Ewing.
Peter Wynn.
Yes.
Of course, it was recruited, Rick, by Boeheim at Syracuse, and he didn't have a good experience there, but it shows you his ability, and you're right, he did outplay Patrick Ewing for a half.
Yep.
Had such a great team.
Yeah.
And came back and had a strong second half. But Peter Wynn showed that he was Division I material in that game and throughout his career at Beverly High.
Yeah.
And it's great when you can see the local kids go on to play at the Division I level, or even Division II level, or even Division III, to see them enjoy the game they've grown up with.
Yep.
Be able to extend it to a college career is, you know, something they'll never forget.
All right, I'm going to, Mike, we're going to ask you to, you know, drop off here in a second for reasons I'll explain, because we're going to talk golf. Actually, Gary and Tim are going to talk golf. But I want to ask you guys one final question. What catches your eye right now in sports, be it, as you say, high school, college, or pros? And, Gary, why don't we start with you?
I'm not sure how to answer that question, but we're in a time in our lives where we never thought we'd see it.
Yeah.
And we're seeing athletics and sports being controlled by a pandemic. And I'm not sure where this is going to take any level of competitive sports from high school to the pros, but I know there's going to be a lot of reassessing when this pandemic passes. Hopefully it's going to be passing before too long, but the way athletic directors and leagues are responding, it looks like this that we're going to have to deal with cancellations and postponements of schedules and seasons for maybe another whole year, guys. We'll see how it goes.
And you know, just to keep it short, Rick, I'll agree with Gary on that, and I'll say that until we get a vaccine that's both safe and consistent, I think we're going to see this upheaval in sports. Until nothing will go back to normal until there's a vaccine that works and that people can go back to somewhat of a normal life. Mm. But the toll continues to climb, and all we can just say is try to stay safe, everybody.
Yeah, amen to that. Mike, again, I appreciate your understanding this, and as long as you guys want to keep doing this, I'm in. So we'll talk to you next week.
All right,
Gary,
fire away. Enjoy your golf. And please tell Tim, hope Tim is feeling better. And I send my best wishes.
I appreciate that. I'll pass it on. I know he does, too. Thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye
All right,
now.
That's Mike Grenier, a sports journalist. And we're going to take a break here, and then I'm going to have Gary and Tim pick it up with Gary's golf stuff, because we can't go by without that. Hang on. We'll take a break. This is MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
One week away. The first round is a week from Thursday, so we're all excited about that. I'm sure Tim was thrilled to see Brian Gay win the tour event yesterday in Bermuda after missing the cut in 9 of his last 11 tournaments. Another example, boys, of the glory of golf. You can be a bum for a week, a month, a year, and then all of a sudden you show up and you'll win a tournament.
Well, you know, Gary, I went online while I was waiting for you guys to finish talking with Mike, and I'm going, okay, I gotta find out who. I knew they were in Bermuda, but I gotta find out what the results were. I was like, I'm going down the list, and I'm going, who the hell are these guys? I mean, this is like the no name tournament until I found Fred Funk down at the very bottom of the guys who finally scored. Then I found Rob Oppenheimer. Had missed the cut by 2 shots.
Correct. Oppenheim had a good first round, a bad second round, so our local boy did not do well last week. But the golf season continues. You know, the high school season is starting to wind down, and we should certainly give congratulations to Bishop Fenwick, who finished with a fantastic 12-2 record with some outstanding play from people like, from Cade Buckley and Tony Novak and Connor Cunningham. And of course we should also compliment Aiden Emmerich from Swampskit, Kernwood, and St. Mary's of Lynn, who had a terrific week last week. He's a sophomore at St. Mary's, and he shot a 2-under par 34 at Hillview and then shot a 3-under par 32 at Newton Commonwealth, because he's still showing his outstanding level of play even in these, in this nasty weather in late October and early November. But we can say farewell to high school golf and just count down to the Masters.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing about Fenwick is that they did that, had that 12-2 season with the accomplishments of a lot of underclassmen that I was reading in the paper.
Exactly, exactly. Very good point. We should also mention that Golf Magazine just came out with their top 100 golf courses in the United States. And, of course, two of our three outstanding superstar courses made that list. Myopia Hunt Club jumped up 20 spots to 43rd. And Essex County Club jumped up 18 spots to 64. And of course, the one minor omission is Salem Country Club, which, in my estimation, is a superior golf course in virtually every way to both of them. But that's still nice local news that Myopia and Essex are very much in the sights of the American golfing population and those players who travel well and play a lot of these courses. And we still need to congratulate Myopia and Essex.
Certainly do, and again, the time frame in which they have to operate and prepare is a lot shorter than a lot of these other courses around the country have.
Very good point. Very good point, Tim. And
Rick, I hope you make a note of these.
They're all in your column, Tim. They're all in your column. Gary don't even want to talk to me about golf anymore.
No, that's okay. Most important, though, great to hear your voice, Tim, and great to have you back. And
thank you, buddy.
As I did mention earlier, though, Bryson DeChambeau is on the cover of this month's Sports Illustrated, looking ahead, of course, to next week's Masters. And the big question is, can DeChambeau, you know, out-muscle and out-length everything at Augusta National like he really did and never should have, but he did, the way he won the U.S. Open at Wingfoot in September. And the Augusta National is made for DeChambeau. Virtually no rough.
And he
showed how what a great short game he had.
All right, so who are you guys picking? Give me a top three, Tim.
Oh, we have to go to DeChambeau based upon his recent big tourney play. God, who else? It's so wide open because so many guys have won and so many guys have filled the top ten. Dustin Johnson, I think, always has to be up there, as well as Justin Thomas. So those are my three.
Good choice, Tim. Very good choice.
Yeah. I like McIlroy
and Thomas. And I don't know if Dustin. I think Dustin Johnson will be back playing, even though he's been on the sideline because of having tested positive for COVID-19, but I think he'll be okay to play next week. So I think Dustin Johnson's long overdue to win his second major. So I'll take McIlroy, Thomas like you did, and Dustin Johnson.
McIlroy hasn't seemed to happen, Gary. He has a good round. He puts himself in a position, and then just somehow he's fallen off the wagon in most all these tournaments.
Tough to figure out why, but thank goodness we have one of the bonuses to dealing with this terrible pandemic this year is to get a major.
Yep.
Our favorite major in November, a wonderful gift right before Thanksgiving.
All right, Gary, looking forward. We've kept you long enough. I don't want to overdo this thing here for you, but I know that one of the things I always like to ask about, and I will next week, is your experiences at the Masters, because it's such a fabulous place. It's such a fabulous thing to watch, and you've had such great experience down there. So I'm going to expect a story or two next week.
I'll get to work on it. Sounds great. Be well, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Gary. Take care.
Take care. You too.
That's Gary Larrabee, who is a sports journalist, golf historian, actually golf writer and sports historian. And Tim, Gary, it's funny. He was very astute in pointing out how this sports year is going to be written. In fact, this entire year is going to be written historically. And I think one of the positive things that is coming out of this is the resilience of high school sports. I know that you're opposed to their playing at this moment, and I get that, and I appreciate it. But I also want to applaud the coaches, the players, the parents, and especially the directors of athletics who are juggling this thing because they have so many things they got to figure out. I'm sure there are kids who may have been exposed and they're not allowed to play and so on. And it's taking an amazing effort, plus the fact the kids themselves are stressed to doing this remote learning. So it's incredibly uncharted territory, but I think the resilience of all involved should also be applauded.
Well, yeah, I think that the measures they have taken, the care that they have taken to pull it off, I think definitely deserves giant kudos from everybody around. I was listening to the BC football game the other day against Clemson, and they have since August, I think it is, given out over 6,000 tests to the athletes.
Well,
I'm thinking, wow, that's an awful lot of resources that they may have been able to go to other people for testing. I got tested twice in the hospital. I had to be tested once before each procedure, before the catheterization, and then the installation of the defibrillator and the pacemaker. So that was fun. I thought she was trying to knock on the back of my skull.
Well, we had the voluntary stuff in Gloucester the last couple of weeks, and I did not go, and so I don't know if I've been exposed or not. And good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, things will go on as in a good fashion. But again, you're right, Tim, and I think that the schools, everybody involved with schools is doing the best they possibly can. I think, looking at safety, and in particular, the teachers' voices have been heard. They can't and don't want to risk being in the building as much as it would be great to get the kids back there. The kids are going through some tremendously difficult times at home due to the fact that they're remote learning. Many have more, many families has more than one kid online. You got parents at home working and so on, and it's just an absolute. It's just incredibly complicated. So for kids to be able to get outside and get over there and play sports, whether there's a tournament or not, they're out there competing, and at least they're out there, dare I say it, getting some exercise for the good. So hopefully the old vaccine will be coming down the road here, not too distant future.
Yeah, it's just not in time for tomorrow.
No, it won't be tomorrow. No, it won't. And again, I forgot all about the BC Clemson game, and that was a very competitive game.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
excellent.
And, I don't know if BC ran out of gas or Clemson just woke up, but kudos to the effort that they put out there. I mean, they showed that Clemson can be had.
Yeah, and that BC is they're very competitive this year. It's great. Coach, we'll do it again next week. Meantime, get used to all your new hardware and software and everything else.
And
don't go.
It's all working on Friday.
Don't go next to any microwaves or anything like that. So.
No. Try to stay away from those.
Okay, Tim.
Bye.
Hey, great having you back, brother. Take care.
All right. Good night.
All right. Good night, Tim. That's Tim Kearns, our MSO sports analyst and ambassador of goodwill. And it's great to have him back home and doing okay. And I especially want to thank Max Cerullo and Gary Larrabee and Mike Grenier for filling in this hour. We just it just came up empty. Sometimes that happens, and everybody I got hold of just was not available for recording to put into this program or to be available tonight. They will be in the future, and we'll have I've got plenty of guests lined up and try to get in more contact with the high school kids for sure. But again, congratulations. I don't know if that's the right word. But I think Godspeed is, when I first heard that Godspeed John Glenn by Scott Alan Shepard, it was so cool, and it still resonates with me. Godspeed to everybody out there who is trying so hard to navigate this thing, and then hopefully it will be resolved pretty soon here with a vaccine, and we can all get back to some semblance of a normal life. Well, that takes care for tonight. Thank you for being with us. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com with suggestions, comments, or complaints. And keep, you know, spread the word around about MSNO Sports. We're trying to do the best we can here without high school football. High school football was our big thing, of course. But we have lots of news updates. We have lots of original content in terms of the voices of the North Shore, all over the North Shore news and sports. So please check us out from time to time. That'll do it for me. I'm Rick Moore. And for Bill Newell, Bill Proposky, Tim Kearns, wishing you a very pleasant good night. Get out there and vote tomorrow if you haven't already. If you haven't, good luck with your candidate. This is msonewsports.com.